Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Welcome back to the Dropship Podcast. We are here with another Freedom Friday episode. And on today's show, we have the man, the myth, the legend, Ben Kneggendorf. Ben is, he's one of the most experienced high-ticket dropshippers I know, as well as been into other types of e-commerce. He's grown multiple seven-figure businesses, including one eight-figure high-ticket dropshipping business, one of the very few people that I know of that has ever done that. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Yeah, thanks for that amazing intro. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I got to go back to that. An eight-figure high-ticket dropshipping brand. That's crazy, man.
We got there in just 3 years as well, which is pretty amazing, right?
Get out of town.
$1 million in the first year and then $1 to $11 million 2 years later. So pretty incredible, explosive
growth.
That's amazing.
And, man, we're totally going to dig into that in a minute. I'm sure people would love to hear like what some of the things around how that actually happened, like what was the difference, you know, because I think a lot of people would love to be there, would love to be just like that. And, you know, I'm sure there's some great stuff to dig into there. But of course, Ben, that's not where you started. I mean, you didn't start with an eight-figure business. And, you know, I think, you know, this is Freedom Friday episode. It's all about how you got there as much as, you know, the actual experience of being there. So, you know, where did Ben Kneggendorf start? I mean, how did you actually get started with high-ticket dropshipping? Like, where were you? You know, as a person, what were you doing before you embarked on this journey?
Yeah, I think before all of it, like my whole story is kind of like unrecognized potential, underachieving. I never really tried at anything in my life. I spent my 20s partying way too much and not really focusing on my life. And I really didn't find out what I wanted to do until I was 29 or 30. Like I spent my 20s. I was working at a Walmart distribution center. I drove yard truck and drove forklift and order filled boxes and order filled non-conveyable boxes, which, you know, the treadmills and all kinds of big, heavy dog food, all kinds of stuff. My whole goal there was to make it to first shift. That was the holy grail at this building. Once you got the first shift, you were set, right? And of course, I wanted to move up the ladder and try to be a coach because we were a team there. They called them coaches. But I eventually, I made it to first shift there. And one of the first few days I was there, I realized, holy shit, everyone here is just dead inside. Like they all looked miserable. They complained so much that we only got the 80s channel in the building. So it was, and I hate 80s music, by the way. Sorry if you listen to this and you like 80s music. Just imagine the terrible 80s music all day. You're living a job you hate. Everybody doesn't want to be there. You're working a 10-hour day that starts at 4 a.m. That's where I was when I initially realized like, holy shit, this something has to change here.
Right. And that's one of the things I was wondering, like, I mean, what you're in your 20s at this point?
Yeah, I was 29.
29. Right. And like, what was your outlook on life at that point?
Well, my wife and I were $40,000 in consumer debt. So we're literally, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, skating by, and the extra money we had definitely wasn't paying off the bills, right? It was all right, we have a couple hundred extra bucks this paycheck. Let's go out to dinner or something like that. And so, yeah, it was not good. Like, I was not in a place where I was happy. And I took this note. It's on my website. On May 5th, 2014 at 5:55 in the morning, I snuck away at work and I wrote, I must begin setting goals and formulating a plan for the future. Working for this place is slowly driving me insane. Find your passion and begin. Set goals, set an action plan, begin the first steps immediately. And that was the day I really decided I'm going to make a change in my life. And certainly I didn't know where I was going to go. I had really no idea about business whatsoever. Growing up, my father worked at a factory and my mom was a CNA. And on May 5th, 2014, I was working at a factory and my wife was a CNA. Like that's as good as I thought life could get.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think that was like that decision or that moment you made that decision? Do you think it was just something, was it something that had kind of been building up in the back of your mind, or did it just kind of, because I know for me, I mean, it just kind of one day just clicked, right? Back when I think back to when I started, it was just like, yeah, one day I was just like, man, it's just, I've had enough. I can't do it anymore. You know, I've got to make a change. And I think for some people it happens that way, but for others, maybe it builds up. and builds up and builds up, and then it just kind of overflows.
Yeah, I think I liked the idea that there could be more, but I just had no real examples. She's my ex-wife now, but her family, her dad was the small town dentist and her mom worked for him. They had a lot of assets, right? And so I saw what I hadn't seen growing up. And then her brother started one of the 50 fastest growing companies in the state of Minnesota. And so I kind of got to watch that and go, oh, holy cow, there's something else here, right? And that's really what started at least sparking my mind of like, there's got to be something more to life. I can't spend the next 4 years doing what I'm doing here and skating by and living paycheck to paycheck and being in a building full of 80s music and people dead inside. It wasn't for me. And so I think it was more of a crescendo moment for me for sure. But I didn't really know where to go either. I think the first thing I stumbled into was like flipping things on eBay. So I would go to the garage sales around town or surrounding towns, pull up my eBay app. You know, if I saw something new, I'd scan it. If I saw something I liked, I would look it up and I would take these things home and maybe make $5, $6, $10, $20 on an item. And that was my first like foray into, I guess, entrepreneurship, really making my first dollar online. And I knew the moment I sold something on eBay, I knew there was something to this. I knew like this was going to be the catalyst to something amazing. I just didn't know what that amazing was.
Yeah. It's funny. I think a lot of people I've spoken to who have ended up in high ticket dropshipping, the first thing they ever did was selling stuff on eBay. So that's pretty cool. So I want to go back there. You took that note in your phone one day. What was your like, and you've mentioned, obviously, you ended up your first thing you did was flipping stuff on eBay. But like, what was your next step? You took that note. Like, did you sort of go out and start researching? Like, how did you even get to that eBay, flipping stuff on eBay?
I knew some friends that were flipping things on eBay. And so that's where I started with that. When it comes to drop shipping, a couple months into flipping stuff on eBay, I'm sure I was starting to dig into business opportunity podcasts or something like that. Somehow I was able to be targeted on Facebook for a drop shipping course. And I think I was targeted for that in maybe August. And I spent the next 4 months researching what the heck is dropshipping, how does it work? Really, every video you could see on our YouTube channel, John, just all the questions you ask in the beginning. What is dropshipping? What is high ticket dropshipping? You know, is dropshipping viable? How do I find suppliers? Things like that. And so I researched as much as I could, as well as researched the course that was targeting me, listened to as many podcasts as I could. But ultimately, I never decided to make a move until that course said they were going to raise their prices. And that was really the bump for me. It coincided with a credit card showing up to our house with a $1,000 credit limit. And when you're $40,000 in debt, that's about all you get is a $1,000 credit limit on your new cards. And they come with like a 27% APR. But that was the moment I made the decision. I talked to my wife and I just said, I'm going to buy this course. With your permission, of course. And if it doesn't work, I'll go back to school. At the time, I was thinking for accounting, which, oh my God, after doing accounting, thank God I didn't go that route. But like, I knew I had potential. I knew my whole life that I was smarter. Like, I didn't really go to school and I graduated fine. And I never really tried anything. And I've always been pretty smart. And I always really knew that I was meant for something more. And so I just really wanted to take a shot of myself. And so I took that last $1,000 we had on the credit card and I plopped it down on that course. January 11th, 2015. I'll remember that day forever.
Were you looking at other business opportunities then, or you just kind of were really focused on the high ticket dropshipping stuff and finding out more about that? Did other things cross your mind?
Yeah, I think back then there wasn't as much noise in the space, right? Like now you can't log on to TikTok or YouTube or Instagram without getting hit by one guru or another. A lot of them very, very young, you know, standing next to a rented Lambo. There wasn't a whole lot of that going on back then. And so I researched this opportunity a lot and it made a lot of sense. Like the high ticket dropshipping business model makes a ton of sense. You're selling products that people already want to buy. They're already searching for these things from real brands that you already buy from these brands. And you're selling something that is, you know, I've sold things up to $10,000. And those, when you have 30% margins on a $10,000 item, that's $3,000 profit per sale versus selling, you know, a $10 item where you're getting $3 per sale. Right. And so I was immediately turned on by all of these things that you could start for $500 or less. You're going to learn marketing along the way. And, you know, the profit per sale was worth it. I knew I didn't need to build a team out in order to run this. So I was sold pretty early on that this was what I wanted to do. It was more, I think I stumbled on like, did I need someone to hold my hand and walk me through the steps? Or could I, you know, piece it together from YouTube videos and podcasts and blog posts and try to figure this out on my own?
Yeah, right. And I think a lot of people go there in the beginning when they hear about drop shipping and they're like, yeah, I mean, the reality is there is a ton of information out there that you can access for free on dropshipping. Like you go to YouTube, like you mentioned, you know, you've got content on YouTube that people could go and watch for free. But of course, ultimately, you made the decision to take that course. And so what happened next? Like, you get the course. How long did it take you to get your first business up and running?
I mean, that's almost a trick question, right? So the very first thing I thought of was pellet grills. My wife's uncle was the national sales rep for Memphis, one of the, I would say, the top tier pellet grill line that's out there. And so he had a Memphis. We went to their house, we ate off of Memphis. He sold one to her dad. If we went to the cabin, we ate off of Memphis. If we went to her brother's, we ate off of Memphis, right? And so that was just top of mind that I thought that's the way I could go. I started brickfirebbq.com, or at least attempted to start it. I built out the whole site. And somewhere in one of the forums, I saw somebody post, I tried pellet grills and it didn't work, right? And being somebody who hadn't started yet, I believe that if he tried it and it didn't work, then it can't work for anyone, right? And so I kind of tabled the idea, and I really got in my own head of like, this isn't going to work. I was definitely scared to call suppliers. I'm like, who am I? I can't call these suppliers. And so I think I waffled on that until probably mid-March. And somebody in one of the forums we were part of said, hey, I'm really ill. I want to sell my website. I've already got four suppliers on board. And that was all I needed to hear. I was like, oh, you already got suppliers. I don't have to call them. This will be great. And so in March, I purchased that website for $400. That website was the3dprinterguy.com. I think you can still see it on the Wayback Machine. So I bought that. Immediately, that dude sent four emails off to four suppliers, and the biggest one replied within seconds and said, yeah, we're not doing this. Like, so I immediately lost the biggest supplier I had, which put me kind of back at square one of like, oh, I need to call suppliers again. And so I probably sat for a month waffling on calling suppliers and, you know, tweaking things on the website, making it feel like I was moving forward, but it wasn't quite perfect, so I couldn't call, right? Just, you know, perfectionism was getting in my way. But I eventually did call. I made all the calls later in March, and I called 20 in the first day that I called suppliers, and I landed all 20 of them. And so, like, immediately that was enough to, you know, kiss the girl. Like, I just took action, and immediately the universe rewarded me for actually taking action. And so I launched that site in April. So what is it, 4 months after I bought the course. And I got a sale before the end of the month, which is pretty fast, I would say. Like, as soon as I started running ads, it was within a week I got a first sale on that. Turned out, in hindsight, that was one of the worst sales I've ever dealt with in my entire dropshipping career. But at the moment, that first sale is something, you know, most people will remember forever, for sure.
Yeah. Where were you? Tell us the story. Yeah. Where were you when that first sale came in?
Yeah. So like I said, I was working at 4 a.m. at the time at the Walmart distribution center. And so it was a Sunday night. My hours always got screwed up on my 3-day weekends. And so Sunday night, it's past midnight and I'm laying in bed still, you know, scrolling my phone, looking who knows what, probably Twitter, if you know me. And so all of a sudden I see cha-ching and I hear the cha-ching and I see the Shopify notification on my phone. Mind you, again, it's 12:30 in the morning. My wife's out in the living room watching TV. I'm butt naked and I run right to the living room and just start dancing like a little schoolgirl. I couldn't believe that I had sold, you know, a couple $1,000 item. It was amazing. I still remember to this day her face of like, what the, you know, I'm butt naked dancing around in the living room. But I'm telling you, that wasn't necessarily my first dollar online, but it was my first big sale. It was something I'd really strive for 4 months. Yeah, it was a great feeling to be able to celebrate that win. But again, like I said, that ended up, you know, in hindsight, I sold it to Duke University. It made it to Duke damaged, went back to the supplier. They built them a new one, went to Duke, was damaged again, went back to the supplier. And this happened like three times before, you know, months later, Duke University finally got their 3D printer. But yeah, amazing moment. Either way, I know anyone who's listening to this who's made their first sale, you remember it. I know you do. It's something you'll never forget.
I remember my first online sale, like kind of like it was yesterday, even though it was, you know, over 7 years ago for me. When that happened, what changed? Did anything change in your mind?
Yeah, I think it was just, I knew it was possible, right?
Yeah.
Like before then, I'm seeing other people successful and I'm not necessarily there. And I had to get over a bunch of hurdles in my head, right? I was scared to, number one, I'd never launched that pellet grill site in the beginning. You know, I bought one to get out of my way, right? And that kind of alleviated one pain, but then I had to call suppliers anyway. And then I had to, you know, the website wasn't the greatest looking thing when I first started. It was on a free theme. And so every little step was more like evidence to myself that this was possible. And that sale was huge, right? That was real evidence of like, oh, you can do this. And I took the profit, or what I thought was profit. I had to hang on to it for a little while, and I took that profit and immediately bought a new theme on the website. Is like, here's my next step. All right, I'm going to put a little more effort into this. I'm going to take some time to design this. Again, go to Wayback Machine. You can check out the 3D printer guy and see my handiwork on the Retina theme on Shopify. But it was evidence, John. That's what it was. Like every little step along, every little win along the way was just more evidence that this was possible.
And just digging back into some of that mindset stuff, I think, you know, the way that you explain that, going through your early stages and how you went around in circles on various things for like months before you even got started, to me, that sounds like a really common experience that people have when they're getting into something new, like building a business and probably any sort of business really, when they don't have a background in that area or anything like that. And I think a lot of what people go through is actually not anything to do with the business they're building. It's just what's going around in their head. And it sounds like you had a bunch of things going around in your head that was kind of limiting your progress. What would you say to somebody going through that right now?
That's a really great question. I think I got in my own way a lot, like you said. Like I think I spent a lot of time not believing in myself, not believing a lot of the stories I was hearing too. I was definitely saying, oh, this isn't possible. Like I didn't know anyone who ran a business besides my in-laws. So I had no experience in the fact that business, while takes a lot of work, isn't necessarily as hard. It's pretty, a lot of them are very simple business models, right? It just takes a lot of effort. And so I think I was in my own way, but you know, anyone listening to this who has kids who have taught them to ride a bike, it's the same thing. Like they doubt themselves immediately. They're going to tell you they can't do it. They're going to fall off. They're going to cry and not want to get back on. And like those same emotions come up as an adult. And so if you can just get back on your bike and keep pedaling, like as long as you don't quit, the results will come eventually. And so I don't think I had any easier path than anyone else. I've seen people who have jumped into this and gone much faster than me. And I've seen people who have jumped into it and gone much slower than me. And so I don't think there's a speed at which makes sense for every single person listening to this, but just don't quit. Like as long as you don't quit, you're going to get to your destination. And so there's plenty of opportunities, as we've already discussed, to quit along the way. Too big, like when you run into these obstacles, you got to make a choice. Am I going to plow through this obstacle, or is this going to be the one that I say is too much for me? And in the end, again, it's all mental. Everything in life is mental. You have to make the decision that you're going to make this happen and then go execute and make it happen.
Yeah, I think that's a big key, is that go execute. Like once you start doing something, I think like it makes it a lot easier to start moving your way through that, some of that mental bullshit that you tell yourself, like taking an action and seeing it work, even if it's just a small thing, right? I think you mentioned calling suppliers. That was one of your hurdles there for a while. And when you actually started doing it, it worked out much better than you thought.
Yeah, I was frightened to call. The weird part is like I used to make cold calls to sell magazines to people when I was like 19 and 20, and I was the second best salesman in that company. Like I had no issue selling magazines over the phone. I thought it was easy, and like, you know, I don't know where they were getting these numbers, but it was very much low income people, and yeah, I was very good at it. And then when it came to calling suppliers, I immediately went back into my shell of like, who am I? I'm just some guy building a website. Who am I going to call these suppliers? And in the end, realizing they need people like us to get out there and sell their products for them. So, you know, once I got over that hurdle, like I said, I landed 20 out of 20 the first time. And now it's something I find super easy. I could call suppliers all day long. I think it's the ability to sell yourself is underrated for sure.
So what ended up happening to the 3D printer guy? Where did that go?
Yeah, so
got your first sale there, but I know that that's not wasn't one of your longer term businesses.
So. It was not. Yeah, so I ended up going to a retreat in Thailand. Actually, funny story with that. I didn't have money to go here, right? So like April, May happens. Maybe I'd made a few sales. I think I made a couple hundred dollars profit in my first month, and maybe a couple hundred dollars in my second month. And this retreat was announced, and it was in Krabi, Thailand. And my wife and I went up to her parents' cabin, and they were one of those folks who had, like, you know, the coffee table covered in magazines. And so I'm sitting down. We got there right before dinner. I sit down waiting for dinner, and I grab a random magazine off the table. I just open to a random page, and here's a Capital One ad that says, for that time that you fly to Thailand, take the ferry to that island where they filmed that movie. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is exactly what the whole retreat was about. And my wife and I had discussed it the whole way up there. And we were just like, you know, we can't afford that. Like, how are we going to get there if you're not making money from your business? And we're already $40,000 in debt. And again, we already talked, you don't get more credit cards when you're that far in debt. So, but that I took that as a sign. I actually ripped it out of that magazine, showed my wife, and on our ride home, we both said, you know, this is clearly a sign. We're going to go to this retreat. We put up enough for the tickets, which was $1,000, which is all we had. We bought the two tickets, and then we said, we'll figure it out from there. And instantly, and I mean instantly, within days, sales started like coming in, almost like the universe was like happy that I took action. I know this sounds a little fucking woo-woo, but there's so much serendipity in my story. I don't even know where to start. This is one of those moments where it was just like things started happening once I made a decision and took action. And so, you know, again, this is how I got to the retreat. As I'm there, Justin Cook from Empire Flippers was one of the people speaking there. And him and I struck up a conversation one day just out in the outside of where we were all meeting. And I said, what do you think of my business? And he's like, what do you think of it? And I was like, you know, I like it. I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't really understand 3D printers. I'm doing the best I can. And he was like, well, that store has value. You could sell that. And I really had never thought of it to that point. And he said, you know, based on whatever you've profited over the last 12 months, you know, businesses get anywhere back then from like a 2 to a 4 multiple. And since I was running my business a little under the year, under a year, he said it's going to be closer to that 2. And so I kind of thought about it for a month and I decided, yeah, let's put this up for sale. And so sometime in late January or early February, I don't recall off the top of my head, that following year, I sold that business for exactly 1 year's pay at the Walmart Distribution Center, which was a great day. Honestly, I can remember it vividly. I'm in the Walmart distribution center. I pulled a pallet down from the racking and I brought it down to the floor. And as I'm bringing it down, I look down at my phone and it says, your business sold. And I dropped that pallet. I drove all the way to the front of the building. My boss gave me a look and I was just like, I'm leaving for today. And I walked right out the front door and I just said, you know, I was done for that day for sure. But I'll remember that moment forever of just like, holy shit. Like I just made a year's pay in one moment and incredible moment. I've sold quite a few since then. I would still say that's one of my favorite for sure.
Absolutely. And I guess that was another one of those moments where I guess your mind, you know, your mindset shifted even further, like kind of like that first sale. Now you've just made a year's worth of income in a single day sort of thing. I mean, I've done that too. And I think moments like that make you, it kind of changes your whole outlook on life. Sort of thing. Like before, making that much money would have seemed really hard. But once you do it, for me, I know it kind of feels like now you just look at money and making money completely differently, right? It kind of, before that, it kind of felt like money is a really finite resource, right? And you've got to protect it and you've got to be really careful with it and all that sort of thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't be careful with money, but once you learn how to make those sort of, I mean, and that's not even a massive amount of money, but larger amounts of money in short spaces of time, I think it really changes your mindset in terms of what's possible with money. Do you know what I mean?
Well, we talked about everything's in your head, right? So I would almost call this a double-edged sword. The one edge of it was like, oh shit, I can do this. Hell yeah. I just made a year's salary. I'm a rock star. I'm an absolute badass. This is I'm going to be doing this forever. And then immediately the back of my head's going, you think you can do it again, bro? Like, I'm not sure. You've done it once. You think you got another one? And so like, it's funny how you're celebrating that moment. And it was real game changer, real confidence builder. And also still had that doubt in my head of like, was this just a fluke? You know, can I do this again? And so, yeah, my work came to me and they were like, I wanted to quit, which, you know, I'm 40K in debt. I sold my business for roughly that. Like, that's probably not a good idea to quit your job at that moment. But I brought it up to them and they said, how would you like to stay on 2 days a week and keep your insurance, which at least in America here, John, insurance is kind of a big deal. And so I took them up on that offer and it was working Tuesday and Friday. So the beginning of the week and the end of the week. And as you can imagine, John, I became the worst employee that has ever existed. Anything they told me to do, I might have done it, but I did it with a bunch of attitude in return. And it didn't take long. I want to say it was about 5-6 months that I made it 2 days a week. Not even that. Yeah. Like 4 or 5 months. And one day they came up. They asked me to step into their office. And I'll remember this one for forever, too. They looked right at me with big air quotes. If you're watching this on video, see, and they were like, look, sounds like you're having a lot more fun with that little internet thing you do than working here. So why don't you just go? Why don't you just be done? And I was like, that was enough to put a chip on your shoulder, right? But I remember leaving. I left there and I drove all the way to the lake where my mom's ashes are buried. Sometimes I like to go sit there and think. And I was just sitting there and I was like, why am I not bothered by this? Why does this not, like, I don't feel hurt. I don't feel scared. I actually feel like empowered. Like that moment, I knew that I believed in myself and that I could do this, and the, and that, you know, I just needed to buckle down and get moving, and that I could pull this off. And so there was no fear in my heart. And I'd love to be able to tell the story that I, you know, gave them the double birds and walked out of there and said, fuck you, I don't need this place. Yeah. But, you know, I got fired, whatever. Like, that's part of my story. And, you know, them saying that cute little internet stuff that'll stick with me forever, I think.
Definitely. Definitely. So what did you do with the 40 grand?
So at that retreat we were at, my wife and I, every night at dinner, we tried to sit at a different table, hoping that other people would, you know, populate our table that we hadn't spoken to at this retreat. Two gentlemen who were speaking there on Amazon FBA, they just kept sitting by us. Every table we would go to, they would sit next to us. It seemed like they were taking a shining to me. They knew, they had heard that I was thinking about selling my business. We stayed in touch. And then a couple months later, when I sold my business, they were the first phone call. And in hindsight, it's not so shocking. But at the time, it was like, oh my God, you guys want me to invest in your company that doesn't exist yet and put down $8,000 for 10% of nothing? Great. Like, this sounds like an amazing, you know, I thought so little of myself that these two must be the gurus. I'm going to need to give them money. And so, yeah, I took part of that. I put it into an adult coloring business, adult coloring book business called Creatively Calm Studios. Yeah, I don't want to jump too far ahead, John, but I didn't get to do anything the whole time that business existed. I had a course on Google AdWords for e-commerce, and they hired another company who lost us 20 grand running Google ads, like, instead of asking me. That's how good that partnership went. So yeah, I took some of the money and went there. I literally just left some in my bank account. I was like, I need X amount of dollars in my bank account to feel secure. And that number kept going up over time. And so this gave it a nice big boost to just sit in there, as well as my wife and I took a trip to Thailand by ourselves and just went over there and hung out with our couple friends that we had that were living over there, and spent a week on Elephant Island, Koh Chang, and just kind of enjoyed it. That was like our reward for selling this business was going over there. And then, like I said, most of it probably sat in the bank account just to make me feel secure. Oh, and you got to pay the tax man too, by the way.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, I know that. So where, you know, you mentioned invested a bit into some Amazon FBA stuff. How did you pick up your high ticket drop shipping sort of journey again? Because, I mean, obviously you're still doing it today. So yeah, it's not something you quit out of at that point. How did you keep that going?
Around the time that I got fired, I actually started up a pellet grill site. You can find that one at pelletgrillpros.com. Sold that quite a few years ago now. But I finally got Pellet Grill Pros going again. And at the same time, I was documenting my journey on a podcast. I had one called Take Consistent Action. And then I came together with a couple other guys on Ecom Fire. And so we were podcasting about our journey and doing coaching. And somewhere along there, I was invited to get on a, you know, quote unquote mastermind call with four gentlemen. So myself, Corey, and two other gentlemen. When we got on the call, no one showed up. It was just Corey and myself. And if you've ever been on a phone call with me and we're talking about business, I'm going to give you about 100 ideas of things you should do in your business. So that's what I did. I was like, Corey, why don't you expand? Instead of selling one item, sell everything that belongs where this one item belongs. And by the end of the phone call, Corey said, hey man, here's half my business. I'm literally going to give you half my business of where we're at currently. And let's go do that idea that you just had. And so Corey and I came together, and that's where I got back into high ticket drop shipping for bigger dollars. This business got big fast. And so I think we 5 to 7X somewhere in there, very quickly. And then, yeah, at that point, Corey said, you know, thanks for doing all this. I'm going to buy you out. I'm going to carry on with this business with just my wife and I. So that was a great day. Actually, a bigger payout, right? He bought me out of that business, and I came home and I told my wife, guess what? I sold my shares in this business and we're out of debt, which was a huge moment for us, right? We were still carrying all that debt. And I'll remember that day forever because she didn't smile at all. And I was like, something's wrong here. And within a couple of days, my wife asked for a divorce. So I go from this, you know, huge high back to dropshipping, scale a business 5 to 7X, get out of debt. And then, yeah, my wife asked for a divorce. And it's amazing the roller coaster we live on, man, that you can have such high highs and such low lows. But everything, again, if I look backwards, all of this seems to happen right in the order it was supposed to happen. Hey, just want to jump in here real quick and say, if you're loving this show, The number one thing you can do to help us out is simply go to Spotify or iTunes or whatever you're listening on and smash that follow button, that subscribe button, and leave us a review. It really does help us reach more people. And if you've got a friend that you know should be listening to this, send the podcast over to them. We'd love to have them join us as well. And real quick, two quick resources I have for you. If you want to join us in our free Facebook group, you can find that at facebook.com/groups/dropship tribe, or just search the Dropship Tribe. And we also have a paid version of this podcast where you can get even more of John and I in longer form content. You can find that on Patreon at patreon.com/dropship podcast. All right, back to the show.
Yeah, I think that's meant a lot of people when they're just getting started on this journey, they think kind of like the, you know, when the success starts to come, it's all just an uphill. It just keeps going up, you know, and everything's sorted, you know, everything's sweet from that point on. And I know certainly in my experience, it's the up and downs continue. Like, you know, I mean, whether it's things going on in your business or life things that aren't even necessarily directly connected to your business, there's always something happening.
Well, needless to say, I was in a pretty bad place after that, right? I was happy that we were out of debt. I still paid off everything. That was like my gift to my ex-wife. I was like, I'm going to pay off everything. We'll just split ways, you know, clean. But at that point, like I said, I was running a podcast and I was doing some coaching. Two of the gentlemen that I had consulted with, I helped them get to $250,000 in their first 3 months, which is pretty fast growth. So they hit $250,000 in their first 3 months. We stopped consulting at that point, but they lived in Wisconsin, so we remained friends. And so I threw them in my Messenger or Slack channel or somewhere, and just they would send me a question and I would answer back with an answer. And then I would say, you know, you could have had help with that. I would always throw these little subtle hints in there of like, hey, I kind of want to be part of this business. And so about a month after my wife left, somewhere around there, they approached me and they said, hey, we hit $1 million in our first year and we'd love for you to come on board. They gave me an absolute sweetheart deal to come on board and take part of the company and scale that. And that is the company that they hit $1 million in the first year. I came on board. We went $1 million to $11 million in revenue 2 years later, which ended up being a personal seven figure victory for me, as they also bought me back out 2 years later when they were ready to rock and roll on their own. And I'm happy to say that those two gentlemen, they are the biggest crushers I've ever met, and they're still in their 20s. And you know, COVID gave them the COVID boost that every other business had, so they're doing great. But yeah, another amazing moment that just happened to come to me at the right time, right? I was lowest of lows after my wife left me, and these guys came with an opportunity I couldn't turn down, and I made sure I did everything I could to pull levers to take us from 1 million to 11 million in a couple of years.
So obviously there's, you know, being a business that you exited and all of that, there's not, you know, a ton that you can say about certain aspects of that, but what was your role there?
Yeah. So these two gentlemen came to me and they literally said, we want you to tell us what you would do if this was your business and then get the fuck out of the way. And so we would get together for our quarterly meetings and I would be like, all right, here's the next step that I think we should be doing. A lot of it revolved around SEO. That's really where I fell in love with SEO, which is, if you're listening to this, you don't know what that is. It's search engine optimization. When you go to Google and search something, people are doing search engine optimization in order to show up in those top spots to get your clicks, to get you to come to their website for free. And so I would come to those meetings and we would talk about, here's the levers we would pull. Again, a lot of SEO. I would lay out the outline and then they would literally tell me to, you're not doing anything. Just don't do anything. Just be available to us. We'd get on, you know, calls every week, and those two executed like madmen. Kudos to that. Again, I can't shout them out enough. One was handling more of the admin and the front end side and the team, and the other one was handling more of the marketing side. And so both, again, absolute crushers and two amazing gentlemen in their 20s. And so that's the role I got to sit in. It's a role I actually liked, which is why I think I'm so good at consulting, is just being able to sit up in that really high seat and overlook the whole business and say, hey, here's some opportunities that we have. Here's the levers that we could pull to grow faster. And then again, a lot of SEO, man. Like I cannot tell anyone listening to this enough. If you have a business going already, double down on your SEO efforts, do it right. And it pays massive dividends. And it's just snowball that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger as time goes on.
I would 100% second that. I mean, if you're somebody who has a goal of building your high ticket dropshipping business into a, you know, multiple seven figure or even hitting that eight figure mark, like you have to do SEO. Basically, I mean, you have to. Ads alone aren't going to get you there. And certainly in Ben's experience, but also in a few other stores that I've seen and been inside of that reach that sort of mark, that high mark, SEO was also like organic traffic and was a major part of that. And so, yeah, absolutely. You got to double down there. And Ben, you're a bit of an SEO nerd, so which is a good thing. You're my SEO nerd.
Yeah, look, and certainly we did some other things there, right? Like, we cleaned up the ads as soon as I got in there. I actually earned it in my first month, just at the end of my first month. That's how fast we grew right away. And so, like, cleaning up the ads, double down on the SEO, really take care of your customers. Shocking, right? Like, give a shit about them and take massive care of them. And then these gentlemen saw an opportunity to make some bundles that the industry wasn't putting together, and these bundles really took off. And then at that point, it was like, well, we could make a lot of these products. Why are we selling somebody else's products? And right before I left, we were really moving into private labeling all of our own products and, you know, assembling them as part of these bundles. And that's where, you know, again, just it's a exponential curve. It starts very flat, and then it starts going up. And when it goes up, it goes up fast. And so a lot of things came together, a confluence of the traffic we were garnering, the conversion rate optimization we were doing to convert more customers that were landing on our site, as well as, you know, improving our profit margins by private labeling. Just everything kind of came together at once in a perfect storm.
Yeah, I think something that's, I mean, obviously we've talked about this story before, and one of the things I think that stands out to me in the way that I know you approach, you know, high ticket dropshipping in general, and it's kind of different to what other people do, is you know, you're focused on the customer. And I think that is that business kind of where you really got focused on that?
Yeah, I think understanding that it's not product, right? I think, again, if you're watching this and you've researched dropshipping, I know you've stumbled across gurus who are like, you just got to find the next hot product. Go on social media, see what's trending. That's not how I would build a business whatsoever. And so first off, I like to sell things that I actually give a shit about personally. And so this business checked that box. I actually cared about the products. I actually cared about the people we were serving. In fact, I would have been a customer of this business as well, which I think was a big deal. That really helped me understand how to talk to that person. Oftentimes when you get started in e-commerce, you tend to write a lot of, you know, we focused copy, which anyone coming to your website doesn't give a shit about you. They care about what this product's going to do for them. And so, yeah, slowly but surely, I would say this was the epitome of learning how to talk to a customer. But it was slowly coming together through businesses. But this is the one where we really focused on loving your customer. It's something I wrote up, you know, a plan to how we could love our customers after they bought our product, actually get them to use the product and get them hopefully to turn into referral machines. And yeah, it all comes with understanding who you're selling to long before what you're selling them.
So you mentioned just there in that story a bit about consulting and you know, that taking that high level view of it, businesses and your ability to do that, making you good at consulting. I know that's certainly something you've done a bit of lately. How did that kind of come together for you? So, I mean, you've consulted a lot of different e-commerce brands, even outside of high ticket dropshipping now over the last probably couple of years, I think. How did you get from being somebody who is, you know, running your own businesses to now you're advising like a bunch of other big brands?
In the beginning, it was from that podcast, right? So again, I had taken Sissy and Ashton podcast, partnered with a couple of guys. We did the Ecom Fire podcast. And so just telling my journey, people were like, well, this guy's ahead of me. I'm just, you know, I'll pay him. At that time, I thought I didn't know what I was worth. And I think we charged $100 an hour, and that made me squirm back then. And then I realized, oh, well, obviously, one piece of advice I give them is, of course, going to give them this $100 back, and I should be, you know, maybe charging more on my value. I think I went to maybe $200 at that point. And then I went to a mastermind, George Bryant. I was part of his mastermind, and he asked me to present on SEO. And then he said, when you're done and everybody comes to talk to you about this stuff, you tell them $500 an hour. And that made me very squirmy back then, too. But I presented on it, the whole room. Honestly, I presented on something I think is pretty easy in SEO, and the whole room still was like, what? Like, SEO can be quite confusing to some people. And so afterwards, when we had like a 4-hour rotation of everybody could talk to every speaker that was there, including myself, many people came over and they were like, can we just hire you to do what you just presented on? And I was like, yep, $500 an hour, you know, shaking in my boots as I'm saying it. I didn't get a single no on that. And then George challenged me, you know, raise your prices when you get back home, right? And he just challenged me to keep raising them until I got a no. That helped me, like, raising my prices made me step out of my comfort zone. It also raised the bar of the client I was working with, which turns out the more money a company makes, the easier the levers are to identify, which means you can make an even bigger difference, which means you should be charging more for the value you're bringing that business. And so, yeah, it's been quite a journey on that, and more so realizing my own worth. Early on in consulting calls, you would find me preaching and preaching and preaching, just giving you everything I had, talking super, super fast and giving you everything I had and like not valuing myself. And over time, working with my coach, Elliot Rowe, it's really been trying to understand my own value and that I should slow down and realize that no matter what I charge you, I'm going to bring you 10x that back just in this phone call. And so, yeah, it's been a journey of really loving myself. Again, it's all mental. Everything, every aspect of this, is it's all in your head.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've been through a journey of, you know, going from that Walmart distribution center. You know, you've been involved in building a whole bunch of businesses, as we mentioned, 7-figure-a-year businesses, an 8-figure-a-year business, you know, consulting other 8-figure-a-year businesses. I mean, there's a whole ton of stuff in there. When you look at, like, where are you today? Like, how has that journey, I mean, and we're talking over the course of, what's that, about 6 years, I think, or getting on to 7 years probably for you. How has that changed you? What is Ben Knegenhoff like today compared to, you know, that dude sitting in that forklift back at the Walmart distribution center?
Confidence is the big thing I see out of the gates. But I also, you know, I doubted myself a lot. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I had a lot of doubts in my mind that told me I couldn't do what I needed to do. A lot of that may have been from a childhood of family members saying that we can't do it. We're poor. We can't do anything, right? And I don't think I realized that until I met Elliot Rowe and we really started working on the mindset side of things, of just working through all of those thoughts in my head and like why they exist, going back and, you know, quote unquote, reprogramming the memories from childhood that made them exist in the first place. And yeah, I would say that was one of the biggest things that's changed so far is everything in my head. Like I was full of all kinds of just noise in my head that's not there anymore. And that's really allowed me to take a step back and understand what I want to do. I think also in this journey, what's changed is, I've done a lot of things. Like you said, John, I had to write it out for this mastermind once and I did 15 businesses. And they were all successful, right? Which is really rare in itself. But going through there, I learned, all right, well, here's a good example of a partnership. Here's a terrible example of a partnership, right? Oftentimes you hear partnerships are the hardest ship to steer, and that's the truth. So that coloring book partnership, not a great one. This last one where we went $1 to $11 million, awesome partnership, right? And so I learned that along the way. I also learned the customer I like to serve versus the customer I don't like to serve. I've been part of businesses where a lot of cheap people, a lot of people that don't want to spend money, or they don't understand how technology works, or they can't even operate the website, or, you know, and then I've worked with other people who are very fluent. They understand the product. They're not afraid to, you know, make a quick action and purchase something bigger. They don't ask as many questions. They do understand how to use the website. And so I've learned along the way, again, who do I want to serve? I've sold things that I didn't know shit about, and I've sold things that I knew a ton about. I've learned along the way, hey, maybe stick to selling stuff you actually like care about. Give me a reason to wake up every single day and work on this business. And so a lot has changed with me, but a lot has changed with like the way I view how I would start these businesses and how I would push them forward.
Looking back, you know, having the benefit of hindsight, of course, through that journey, I mean, of course, you're nowhere near done yet. We're not at the end of the journey yet, if there ever is one, but like looking back at that, and once again, thinking of you in that forklift and going through the early stages of that journey, like what would you say to somebody who's there right now? Somebody's listening to this podcast and they're there right now, I reckon, right? There's going to be people who listen to this and they're going through that process of wanting to change their life in some way and find a way to change things up. Like what would you say to that person with the benefit of what you've learned through your journey?
It's kind of an emotional question, John, because like it takes me back to a memory that happened actually before I even started, right? So I'm 25 years old. My mom passed away of an unexpected heart attack. Hardest thing I've ever been through in my entire life. And so we had her visitation. And when you're at a visitation, at least in America, you know, you stand up at front with your family. All these people come by, give you hugs and go view the body and move on. So people started rolling in. And I didn't recognize half of them. You know, I'm nudging my dad next to me, Dad, who's this? Right. And he's like, oh, it's your great uncle, second removed Jimbo or whatever. Right. And so he did that a few times. And then some people started coming in, younger people. And I'm like, Dad, who's that? And he's like, I have no idea. And I'm not saying a couple, I'm saying dozens of people came up. Some of them were, you know, mentally challenged in some way. Some of them were physically challenged in some way. And some were none of the above. And they all said, hey, I don't know you, but I know your mom, and she's the first person to ever see me for me. She gave me a chance when nobody else would give me a chance. And from that day, I knew that I had to be the one to see other people, right? So I like you said, there's people listening to this who feel like Ben working at Walmart Distribution Center, or they feel like me, as Kayvon would say, there's a Ben in every classroom, right? Somebody who knows they're meant for more, but isn't trying. And so like, if I can take away that powerful moment to carry that legacy on from my mom of like, I see you, like, if you're listening to this and you feel like me, I see you and I want to teach you, like, I want to give you the opportunity that e-commerce has given me. And so I can't say enough how much my life has changed. I'm out of debt. I've been able to travel the world in first class. I've been able to start many of these businesses, and now I'm fortunate enough to be able to teach this stuff and teach hundreds of students how to change their lives too. And so, like, if you're listening to this and you feel like this resonated with you, I would love the opportunity to help you have e-commerce change your life as well.
Yeah, that's a really cool story. And what does that look like now? You're teaching people. So you've gone the full circle. Nearly, you're doing the business, you're consulting the businesses, and now you're helping other people essentially try and, you know, replicate some version of what you've done in your life and that change, and, you know, building a profitable and stable business to help them do that. Where are you doing that?
Dropshipbreakthrough.com is where all of this is located. Here's the thing. I took a course back in the day, and I told myself, I will never make a course that is just a replica of that. And for a long time, that's all I knew. I knew what was in the course. I made a few $1,000s. I sold a couple businesses. And then at some point, I had to take my journey to the next level. If I was going to get to 8 figures, I was going to need to learn new things. And so through the process of building these businesses, I've learned a lot about SEO. I've learned a lot about, like, loving your customer and actually, you know, understanding conversion rate optimization. And a whole lot of things that were never in the course I took originally. And so that's when I knew it was time to make the course that I wish I had taken in the beginning, right? There's a whole chunk of, like, how to start. And then there needs to be this whole chunk of actually how do you grow your business, right? I think starting this process is rather simple. I think we could outline high ticket dropshipping in 30 seconds or less of, like, the actual simple steps you need to take, and you'll be able to get your first sales. But to be able to take it from there to the next level, you're probably going to need some guidance. You're going to need someone show you how to do SEO correctly, how to do your ads correctly, how to talk to your customer, how to understand your avatar, how to do conversion rate optimization. And so all of that resides at Dropship Breakthrough. I'm proud to say that we have the beginning part. Here's how to get started. And we have even more videos in the here's how to grow your business part. And it's only going to get bigger as I continue to operate these businesses to this day, because I love this business model. So I have a pets brand that you can see somewhere behind me here, ParamountPetHealth.com. But I also have my own high ticket dropshipping store that I run with my absolute best friend in the world. His name is Ben as well. And that store absolutely kicks ass. It's really grown rather quickly. And so I'm excited for that one too. And then, you know, again, Dropship Breakthrough, where we teach hundreds of students to do this exact same thing.
Awesome, man. Awesome. That's really cool. So a couple of fun things to throw in here. What, you know, you've been through a journey, and, you know, I know you're a guy that loves your podcasts and all of that sort of thing. What's, three of your favorite resources for, like, somebody, whether it's a podcast or a book or something like that, that you'd recommend to somebody who's just getting started in their business?
Well, I hope I can get to three by the time we're done with this rant. The first one that comes to mind, I tell literally everyone, if you do consulting with me, the first thing we do is I talk to you about Vivid Vision, right? That's usually in the first call or two. It is a book by Cameron Harold. It's a very short book, but I have found this to be one of the most impactful books that I've ever read. So, you know, do yourself a favor, go spend $10 and read this short little book. And really, it's outlining your vision for your business, for your life, for your relationship, and understanding where do you want to be in 3 years? Because I think if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. So that would be resource number one. I don't know where to send people. Resource number two, I love to say, you know, check out our podcast, the Dropship Podcast, if you want to learn more about dropshipping. There's many, many, many podcasts out there. The old saying is you are the average of the five people you hang out with most. And I don't think that means, you know, your wife and your kid and, you know, Billy at work. I think it's more of like, where do you consume? So if you're anything like me, you constantly want to be learning, in whatever that is, learning something. I would encourage you to be ever more curious and go find business podcasts that you can listen to. You don't need to take action necessarily on what they're saying. Just go surround yourself with them. Start seeing ideas populate your mind and start realizing what's possible by hearing other people's journey. That's the two places I would send people. And I hesitate to send people to YouTube just because, man, there's a lot of nonsense on there nowadays.
There really is. There really is. But I mean, I think that's good advice. And then one of the things certainly for me through my journey that has helped a lot with the mindset stuff is actually, you know, seeing other people. It doesn't really matter who it is, but like seeing other genuine people who have been where I am and have got to where I want to be. And like actually like listening to their stories, like we're doing right now with your story, of course, and actually hearing that they're actually just normal people, right? I think when you're first starting out, it's easy to get this view in your mind that people who are like making the big bucks or having a lot of success or living the life or whatever it looks like they're some sort of superstar, you know, or they're somehow different to you. And I mean, that's one of the reasons we do this Freedom Friday is to kind of break that kind of thing down. But I think one of the most powerful things for me was sort of getting my head around the fact that people who have reached the success that I want to reach, they're just like me. Like they're not special. You know, they have struggles as well, you know. like you've outlined, you've had plenty of struggles over your years in business and as well as plenty of success. So I think that's great advice.
I spent a long time dealing with comparitis. I was constantly comparing myself to people above me. I always put them up on a pedestal. I have yet to meet one that I've been impressed with when I actually met them in person, which is sad. I would say most of the people I looked up to are maybe not the greatest humans. Some are, don't get me wrong, some are, but there's been a few where I could not wait to meet them, assume they were smarter than me and better than me, and I got there and they just weren't. And so that took me a long time to learn that lesson. So if anyone listening to this takes something away from this, take that right there. Everyone that you go meet in life, they're just another human. They've done nothing special. Like maybe they've executed more. Maybe they put in more hours. Maybe they're a little bit further ahead in their learnings, but they're just a human just like you. And they also suffer from that same bullshit going through your head every single day.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. So where's Ben going to be in 5 years from now? What's the plan, Ben? What are you aiming for? What's your big thing? Like what's driving? I mean, you've been in business, you know, like you said, you've launched 15 different businesses or been involved with 15 different businesses that have been successful to some level or another. What keeps you going, man? Like what are you aiming for here?
Yeah, I don't think there's ever an end, right? So this is another thing that I struggle with forever. When I get there, I'll be happy. And then I got to the first there and the second there that I said and the third there, and I still wasn't happy, right? It was until I worked on my own internal stuff and realized that this journey is what's fun. I think Tom Bilyeu says happiness is how you feel about yourself when you're by yourself or something like that. And so like, you know, it took a long time for me to be happy with myself by myself. And now it's like setting these big goals. There's one big one that if I ever get there, I'll be super, super happy. I want to own the Minnesota Twins. I'm the absolute biggest Minnesota Twins junkie you will meet. And I think owning them would be the coolest business to own that there ever was. And maybe even just like the general manager side of things. I don't even understand. I'm not sure which one I would like, or maybe I just want to sit behind home plate every game for 81 game or 162, right? And fly everywhere. And so I think that's my big ultimate goal, but in the end, it's more like it's shifting to impact at this point, right? So I'm confident with what I can do, but to be able to partner with, like my best friend came to me, said he was looking for an opportunity. He couldn't stand his job either. He's like, I'll come work for you for peanuts. Just show me what you do. So he came to work for me for 6 months for literally peanuts, his number, not mine. And so I taught him everything we knew, and we built this business together. As we're recording this yesterday, or 2 days ago, I had lunch with him and surprised him for Christmas and said, I'm going to give you a little bit of equity in this business. Like he's built this together. And so to be able to have an impact on one of my best friend's lives and see him shift into a better human, somebody who's happier every single day and not dreading his life, going to his job, that's been huge, right? And so same thing is happening with Dropship Breakthrough. To be able to teach people, give them an opportunity and hope that they execute on it, right? I can't execute for you, but I can show you the path and encourage you along the way. And to see some of those people turn this into something amazing the same way I have is been incredible, right? I want to change people's lives. Like I'm having fun every single day in this office. Actually, I have twin stepkids. They're six and they constantly are like, do you hate work? Why are you in your room all the time? I'm like, I actually like being in here. I have fun in here every single day. And so, if I can make that impact on somebody else so that they wake up every day excited rather than like, oh, fuck, I got to go to that place again today. That's enough for me, right? This truly changed my life. And I just want an opportunity to help change someone else's.
Love it. Well, on that hugely positive and uplifting note, thank you very much for being here, Ben.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.